let us dive in. Last week, we had a chance to begin Siman Tezayin. Last week, we had a chance to open up Vas V'Chalav. And we had a chance to see where it all begins. The Pasuk, Lo Sevashel Gadi V'Chalev Imo, which appears not once, not twice, but three times over the course of Chumash. Lo Sevashel Gadi V'Chalev Imo talks about Tevashel, Gadi, and Chalev Imo. And those become the fundamental building blocks of the dinim of Basar B'Chalav. Most of our focus last time was on Bishul. Pei Zayin as a whole is going to be occupied, Siman Pei Zayin is occupied with defining those three terms. What is Bishul? And what's considered Basar? Min HaTorah, Min Rabbanan, and what's considered Chalav? We spent most of the time last time thinking about the definition of Bishul and the centrality of Bishul. We saw that the Gemara understands, the Tanaim already make it clear, that it's clear from the Mishnah that there are three different prohibited behaviors, not only the Bishul Basar B'Chalav, which the Psukim speak about explicitly, but also Achilas Basar B'Chalav and Hanafim Basar B'Chalav. All three are Asar. They said that there are many different approaches in Tanam to where those Isurim come from. And what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch is the drasha of Tan Dvei Yishmael. The Tan Dvei Yishmael, which is that the Los of Ashel is repeated three times. So that stands for three different Isurim. One actually means Bishol, the next one means Achila, and the third one means Hana. Now, of course, you ask, so why the Torah say Bishol if it meant Achila? Why the Torah say Bishol if it meant Hana? So the Rashba, also quoted by the Shulchan Aruch Sefalf, the Rashba understands the Gemara in Daf Kuf Ches in Chulin, Derech Bishul Asra Torah, as Rashba puts it very clearly, Hotzi Akas of Achila B'Lashen Bishul. The Torah chose the second time when it was saying Lo Sochal, but the language is Lo Sevashel because the Isser is to eat that which has been cooked together. The Isser is to have Hana from that which has been cooked together, to eat basar v'chalav, basar and chalav that were not combined through cooking. Either just cold, there's no transfer of flavor. There was a transfer of flavor, but not through cooking. If there wasn't cooking, it's not basar v'chalav d'oraisa. It's asim yidrabanan to eat milk and meat together. It's asim yidrabanan, as we're going to get to in Siman Pei Tes, even to eat, as we know, to eat milk after flesh, certainly to eat them together. That's an isa d'rabanan. The isa d'oraisa only when they were nisbashlu yachad. And we touched a little bit as well last time, and we'll be seeing more of this, but we began to touch also Se'ifim Beis and Gimel, the definitions of what's considered Basar and what's considered Chalav. And there's a Machlokas HaTanoim, Machlokas HaAmoraim, HaDapaskin, what sorts of meat sources are considered to be fleishik. There were Tanam who held that poultry is a fleishik min HaTorah. On the other extreme, there was a Tanam who held that poultry is parav, even midrabanan. The Gemara says that his Baal Batim felt that. B'makomash Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. The Tanam Yossi HaGalili held that poultry is mamish parav, not even fleishik midrabanan, and in his town they ate chicken cheeseburgers. And that's what they were supposed to do. They followed their Rav. He was certainly a holy Tana. A major Talmud Chacham entails his opinion, they followed his Shita, L'Hak Al-Achmer. We do not. His opinion is rejected. Halach L'Maisa, poultry, as you know, is fleishik, and according to the vast majority of poskim, is fleishik midrabanan. So Machlokas Tana, Machlokas, the opening sugya in the Perek, in the Gemara, Machlokas Amora, perhaps. Halach L'Maisa, we assume that fleishik min HaTorah is the Sar Behema Tahora, has to be a kosher species, domestic species. Midrabanan, even chaya v'of, are also fleishik. And of course, fish is parv. And similarly with milk, if you have deer milk, obviously there's no milk from birds, but deer milk, chalev chaya, is the only milchik midrabanan. So those are the opening ideas. Now, the question, before we move on to the next zone, in Siman Pei Zayin, the zone of Mar Zayin, we left off with one major question which we want to take a look at now, which is, who cares? I mean, mm-hmm. Of course it matters whether it's mutter or aser. But beyond that, handling long discussions, Tanam talk about it, Amaram long discussions, Rishonim talk about is olf b'chalav v'isra daraisa isra banan. L'may nafkamina. Either way, you can't have a chicken cheeseburger. Whether it's isra daraisa isra banan, Orthodox Jews keep drabanans with the same fervor and enthusiasm and they keep the daraisas. So why does it matter? Or bishul. If there was no bishul, then it's only bas b'chalav drabanan. Is vas. So we were talking last time, right, the salami and cheese sandwich has definitely only isra drabanan, and we were discussing last time what's considered bishul. How about if it's machlok zaposkim on the page of Shulchan Aruch about cheeseburgers, right? Where it's not cooked in lav, not bishul cooked in liquid. It's hot but dry heat, afia or tigun. Derais drabanan. So lo mayn afkamina. Either way, you can't have a cheeseburger. So what does it matter? Is it derais drabanan afkamina from malchus? What's an afkamina? Yeah. So Mr. Carr says, why am I getting so worked up? Right, Daraisa Rabbanan is certainly a fundamental issue. Yeah, and conceptually, you're right. Conceptually, Daraisa Rabbanan is certainly a fundamental issue. And it's true in many areas. That often you're learning a sugya. Sort of the first question a shechter will often say. You open a masechta, the first question you ask, if it's Daraisa, what's the pasuk? If it's Rabbanan, you know, what's the motivation for the Takan Rabbanan? Obviously, these are questions that lie at the core, but why is it of such interest in a halachic context? I mean, what's a halachic nafkamina? Now, you might say, yeah, the nafkamina for the classic, nafkamina for safek. Sveka de Raisa l'chumra, Sveka de Rabbanan l'kula. And that is true, and that is nafkamina number one. That's a nafkamina b'chalot tarakula, across shas. That's a global nafkamina. And as a matter of fact, if you take a look, and I mentioned last week, 2 weeks ago, the Rashba, in addition to writing his Chidushim on Chulin, as he did in many other Masechtas, he also wrote a freestanding Sefer Halacha called Taras Habayis. So in the Taras Habayis, Sha'ar Gimel Dalad is the section that's Miyuchad for Bayis Gimel, Shar Dalet, so he calls it his sections. Bayis Gimel, Shar Dalet. So that's the section dedicated to Bas B'chal. So he opens with that. He begins talking about these issues. What's Bas B'chal Dereis? What's Bas B'chal Dereis? He says, Nafkamina is, if you have a suffix. Let's say you're not sure, if you're not sure whether your beef got some milk splashed on it, that's going to be different than if you're not sure if your chicken got milk splashed on it. Because by the beef, so that's a besar behem, it's a suffix deraisa. By the milk, by the chicken, excuse me, oaf, so worst case scenario, it's a drabanan. Okay, so we'll have to see how that plays out lamasa once we get to lamaisa cases. But that's always the sort of the global, universal, b'chol tarakula, the nafkamina. But what's interesting is here that there's a second nafkamina between deraisa drabanan that's specific to the world of basar b'chol. And the Ramah in the Sif Aleph tells it to us. Last year, we learned the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph Beis, and again, we skipped the Ramah. Ramah says, Simen Pei Zayin Sif Aleph, Kal Basar B'chalav She'ena Osir Min HaTorah Mutar Bahana. A rule you should know. He says, up front, I'm going to tell you, if it's only Drabanan, it's not Osir Bahana. If it's only Drabanan, it's just Osir Bachila. His source is number one, the Rambam, and number two, the Mordechai. The Rambam is quite clear about that. He says that when Chazal created an Isra Rabban of Bas B'chalav, Ouf B'chalav, or if they weren't cooked, so on and so forth, they only created an Isra Achila, they did not create an Isra Bishul, and they did not create an Isra Hana. So that area becomes a significant nafkamina. So again, the Ramah, one source of the Ramah is the Rambam. And the other source of the Ramah, the one that the Be'er HaGra quotes, is an Os Gimel, is as a Mordechai. A Mordechai in Avodah Zarah. So in the context is sort of interesting. It's not really a Basar B'chalav context. The Gemara in the second parak of Avodah Zarah talks a lot about Machalei Akum. About Pas Akum, Bishal Akum, Chalav Akum.
So in the sugya of gvinas akum, you know, I eat the non-kosher cheese. So the Mishnah already says that there was a lot of mystery that surrounded what was the reason. We know that Chazal were masakin gvinas akum. Mishnah tells a story. There was one Tana who wasn't there when they voted on it, and he was trying to find out afterwards what was the rationale. And the Amoraim have a long discussion, many different suggestions. Why did Chazal forbid gvinas akum? Was it because of this? Was it because of that? Because this issue, that issue? A long list, at least four or five, maybe six or seven different suggestions. On Daf Lamed Hei Avodah Zarah. And then at the end, the Gemara said that some of them have to do with we're worried that maybe you used a piece of non-kosher meat to provide the enzymes to turn the milk into cheese. That's one of the common reasons. And maybe it's this, and maybe it's that. And then the Gemara says maybe there's some Avodah Zarah tie-in. They were worried that the maybe was produced using Davar Shel Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, why does it matter? The Gemara says, well, if it was a Davar Shel Avodah Zarah, according to the reasons that has to do with Avodah Zarah, then it's even Aser Bahana, not just Ba'achila. That's what the Gemara says. So the Mordechai says, one second. How about if it's Basar B'chalav? How about if they used a piece of meat to provide the enzymes to turn the milk into cheese? It says, Basar B'chalav, that should also be Aser Bahana. Says the Mordechai, no. Because it's not cooking it. You're soaking a piece of meat in cold milk to make cheese. That's not bishul. It's meat and it's milk. It's chalav and it's basar. There's no bishul. So that's why the Gemara did not suggest that that would be asur bahana. So that's one of the sources, again, for this idea of the Ramah. Again, source in Rishonim, most famously the Rambam and the Mordechai. And ultimately sourced in that Gemara of Avodah Zarah. There are other makor indications as well that Bas B'chalav D'Oraisa has all three surim, Bishul, Achila, Hana. Bas B'chalav Javan only has an Isser Achila. Yeah. Yeah. I believe he is masking. He doesn't mention it now. How do I know? If you take a look, the Machaber is a little tricky. If you take a look, Siv Gimel, he mentions it there. Eino noheg el bebesar behematar b'chalev behematar. He says the Issa d'Oraisa is only the kosher species of behema, both for the meat and the milk. He says, but besar b'tahor b'chalev tamei, besar tamei b'chalev tahor mutar b'bishul uvehana. So if it's a treifa species, no Issa b'shul hana. There's no basar b'chalev at all there. You're not allowed to eat it because it's pork. But then it goes on to say, "Ubasar chayav yov, afil b'chalev tahora mutter b'bishul v'hana, afil b'achila eno asam jabanim." So the Shulchan Aruch is explicit. He gets to it later. So you're right. In a sense, the Ramah is quoting the Mordechai, and the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam. Right? Because it has both Ashkenazi and Sephardi sources. Now, the one question you might ask is why. Usually, called the tikkur rabbanan kein d'oraisa tikkun. Usually, if Chazal choose to make a rabbanan, it'll be patterned as much as possible after the d'oraisa. So if the d'oraisa has three surim, why would the rabbanan only have one? So there are at least two explanations for that. The Magen Mishnah on the side of the Rambam, he seems to say, talking in particular about the bishul, he says achila is much more eating is much more common than cooking. So he says, Chazal makes zeres on a milsa de shchicha. So eating bas b'chal jaban is more common than cooking bas b'chal jaban. Now, you might, so at first I look at the Magen Mishnah thing, well, everything you eat was cooked. So, I mean, sort of every cooked thing that you eat was cooked. So what do you mean eating is more common than cooking? So what does it talk? It means that achila is matzah. What do you think it means? Achila is matzah. So it could be he means the eaters are more common than cookers. Every morsel of cooked food that you eat was cooked by someone. But what tends to happen is that the many people are doing the eating, but the cooking is concentrated in the hands of a few. So the chance for making mistakes is more broadly available to eating than to cooking, and more people involved in eating bas b'chalav jaban than are the number of people involved in cooking bas b'chalav jaban, even in terms of act, people, and also pu'ulos. In other words, you do one round of cooking and you create 20 servings. So 20 different people will eat those 20 servings at 20 different times, or 5 different people will eat those servings over the course of 4 meals, but it was a single pot that got put up. So all the food that, the same amount of cooked food gets cooked and eaten, but there are fewer people doing the cooking, and there are fewer acts, fewer rounds, fewer events of cooking. So that's the Magen Mishnah's approach. That achila is more matzah. So when the Chazal introduced the Gzeir Drabban of Bas Buchal, they only introduced it on achila, not on bishul, which is less common. And hana, eating is the most common form of hana from food. You can have other types of hana also. You can sell it. You can be paid to deliver it. Those are all types of hana. But achila is clearly more common than either bishul or hana. So again, in terms of the why, how come we have this chiluk? So the first approach is that of the Magen Mishnah. And then the second approach, there are indications of this, but I heard it befeish from Rabbi Daniel Feldman, Shalita, a rabbi on the other side of town. He pointed out, there's a very fascinating, one of the most famous Kesef Mishnah is a classical commentary on the Rambam, written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. He wrote Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, he wrote Beis Yosef on the Torah, and then he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. Ironically, although the Rambam has a whole perek about Bas Bukhalov in Sefer Kedusha, Hilchas Machalos Asuras Perek Tes is about Bas Bukhalov, the most famous Kesef Mishnah about Bas Bukhalov is actually not anywhere near there. The most famous Kesef Mishnah about Bas Bukhalov at the beginning of all places, Hilchas Tumas Mes. The context is a little tangential, but he has a fascinating comment. The very beginning of Hilchas Tumas Mes, the Kesef Mishnah suggests, he says, how come the Torah forbade cooking Bas Bukhalov? I understand it's not kosher. However, you understand the reasons for Machalos Asuras, but there are plenty of Machalos Asuras in the Torah, and the Moni HaMitzvah, the Bali Machshav have plenty to say about the Tam HaMitzvah. But how come the Torah forbade cooking Bas Bukhalov? What's wrong with cooking Bas Bukhalov? So we mentioned 2 weeks ago, it could be that's part of the Siyag Tavodah Zarah. The Kesef Mishnah suggests it's this Bishul is a siyag to eating. He says, really, the core iser is achilas bas b'chalv. But then the Torah introduced a gzeira, a siyag daraisa. Well, most gzeiras are drabanan, but every once in a while you have a siyag daraisa. Because Mishnah says, the Torah forbade bishul. Min ha-Torah, a gzeira you shouldn't come to eat, bas b'chalv shenis b'ashriya. Don't even cook it. Don't even create it, so that way you'll stay farther away from actually eating it. So if you take that approach, that bishul is only a siyag, so then maybe you could, maybe on the drabanan array it becomes like a gzeir l'gzeir. Perhaps. It's a little bit going on a limb, but it's an interesting idea. Okay, so we have this idea of the Ramah quotes from the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch and Ramah both quote from the Rambam and the Mordechai, that bas b'chol drabanan is the only asur b'achila, but mutter b'bishul mutter b'hanam. Maybe it's because it's achila is more matzah, so chazal only goes on achila. Maybe it's because everything is a bishul is only a siyag to achila. I should mention that the Bach is not happy with this. You take a look in the opening Taz, and the Shach quotes it also. Say, well, take a look at the Taz of Kanalf. He says the Maharshal, Perakol Abasar, not Perakafe. There's no Masechta. There's no Masechta with Bavli that has 25 prakim. Perek Kafei is Perek Kol HaBasar, the 8th Perek of Chulun. Simen Kuf, Cholek Alzeh, V'amashakas Zaramba V'amordechai. It's very nice, V'amakos Rabbi Mordechai, the Mashal was unhappy, Svilei Misfar L'Hachmir B'Hanai. He thinks you should be Machmir. Anu Ein Lanu El Direi Rishon V'Achron. Taz said, we follow Rishon V'Achronim, the Rambam and the Mordechai. Now the truth is, the Bach points out that the Rashba also disagrees with us. I mentioned before the Rashba, when he needs to give a nafkamina, all he said was, oh, suffix. He didn't say this. And in his chidushim on the Masechta, the opening lines on Kalabasar, he makes it sound like there is an Isser Bishul on Basar Bechal Drabbanan. The Marcheshes talks out, yes, no, okay. It's most likely a machlokas. It's most likely the Rashba felt that the other Yisroon do apply to Bas B'chol Drabanan, but the Rambam clearly said they don't, the Mordechai clearly said they don't, and we follow the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Shach and the Taz against the Mashal and the Bach, and we assume halachal maisa like this kula. So you have two, that's why I was wondering, what's an nafkamina? Mr. Carr, certainly yes, one nafkamina is for Safik, and the other nafkamina is for Bishul and Hana. And why does that matter? Why does that matter? How much bas b'chol drabban do you have around the house already? Can I be a delivery boy for chicken cheeseburgers? Chicken cheeseburgers are maximum bas b'chol drabban. And we said last week, maybe if you hold that that Sili is not bishul for bas b'chol drabban, the cheeseburger is also bas b'chol drabban. Can I be a delivery boy for Burger King? Okay. Hana. Okay. Can I flip burgers for Burger King? Bishul. The major nafkamina rabosai, the major nafkamina halacha lemaisa is dog food. That's the real nafkamina. With the rise in dog ownership, whether because of COVID or otherwise, this is there are a number of areas of halacha that have particular applications for pet care. Zeri Hilcha Shabbos is a lot to think about. Spaying and neutering is a relevant issue for pet ownership. But sometimes people laugh when they say like there's kashrus issues for pet ownership. I'm not eating the dog food. I'm not eating the dog food. It doesn't have to be kosher, but it has to be mutter b'hanah. One of the classic examples of hanah in terms of isra hanah is feeding something to one's animal. If something's, as a matter of fact, that's an example that the Chumash gives. When the Chumash wants to tell us that non-kosher beef, that nevela and treifa, it's asr b'achil b'mutter b'hanah, the Torah says, l'kelv tashlich nosav. Right? Take the bizarre trefa. You can't eat it. I can't eat it. But you give it to the dog. No problem. That's the Torah's way of saying it's mutter bahana. If it's asr bahana, you cannot feed it to your dog because you're saving money. I would have otherwise had to get bought some other dog food. Now I'm giving him this. So I'm saving money. It's considered my hana. Not only is my dog nehene from eating the dog food, it's my dog's achila, it's my hana. So if the dog food is asr bahila, it's totally fine to give it to your dog. But if it's asr b'hana, that's a problem. So is dog food asr b'hana? So again, the fact that the meat didn't have a proper shechita, nevela trefa, that's not asr b'hana. If it's pork-based, behema tameya is asr b'achil, but not asr b'hana. Basr b'chalav is asr b'hana. So, and, strange though it sounds, there's a fair amount of dog food that's in the running to be basar b'chalav da'oraisa. You gotta check your labels, and you gotta do a little. If you own a dog, you gotta do a little research. Not all, and that's how these seifim really come up. Is it behemoth? Is a meat behemoth tahora? Most dog food is made with a milk blend of meat and milk. Gotta ask a veterinarian why, but that's it's a very common formulation, a mix of meat and milk, and they're often cooked together. Now it's not always beef. So if it's a non-kosher species of meat, or if it's chaya, so that's only bas b'chol drabanan, asr b'chila mutter b'hana. And sometimes it wasn't actually cooked together; it was just mixed cold. So you got to discuss with a veterinarian. If you can, if you have a vegan dog, then you avoid all these problems. But if you're going to have a basar v'chalav dog food, you want to make sure it's basar v'chalav and not basar b'chalav. You want to make sure either the basar is not basar d'oraisa or the chalav is not chalav d'oraisa, if it's from a behemoth tamei or from a chaya, or that it did not undergo bishul. Yeah. I'm going to repeat the question, don't worry. Yeah, well, what's the question? To run, you're asking about running a restaurant?
The Jewish guy owns a business, but these non-kosher people work for him. They go out on the town for the corporate court, go lunch, go dinner, go on
it. Ooh, that's an interesting question.
Can they go to McDonald's and buy it, or can they go anywhere and eat
You're asking, can... Can I fund a non-Jew eating basar b'chalav?
They're getting money. They're getting benefit from you.
I'm not sure. So the question again is, let's say I have employees, and my employees have the right to take the corporate card and go to lunch. And they decide to go to lunch to have bas b'chalav. So if it's just machal sasur, it's totally fine. But if they're nachrim, I can pay for nachrim to have machal sasur. That's a possible. Or machal or nachri. But you're saying, can I fund, a nachri wants to have bas b'chalav, can he eat bas b'chalav on my dime? I'm not sure. It's interesting, Shiloh. Otherwise, he would have some other food still on my dime. I'm going to pay for his lunch. But do I have to insist that he can eat treif, but he can't eat bas b'chalav? Don't go to McDonald's. Go to the steakhouse, but don't go to McDonald's. Assuming the steakhouse is not bas b'chalav also, which it may well be. I slather in butter. Yeah.
But it's
tigre. Go out for lobster. Go out for lobster. They'll avoid all the problems. Tigun, maybe, yeah. I'm not got to think about that. Is it considered hana? Am I being nehne if I'm funding the nachri eating bas b'chalav? But he knows I would have funded his lunch anyways. I would have funded his lunch anyways. He chose bas b'chalav. That may be different. In other words, it's not that he already have bas b'chalav, I'll give him the bas b'chalav, otherwise we'll have to go buy him something else. I don't have anything. And I give him $20 and I say, you go buy yourself lunch. So he goes, I'm not sure that's Hana. I'm giving him money. And he's spending it. Not that I'm I don't know. That's an interesting child. My gut reaction would be it's not a problem. But Tzaruch Talmud.
Back to,
yeah.
Back to the dog food case. I thought I saw a couple of weeks ago that there was a focus about Nevela. There were the sheetahs that said that Chalav and Nevela.
Yeah. Chalav b'chalav. Chalav b'chalav. Yeah. There are, so Glenn has pointed out, there is some discussion in Poskim. How about if you have non-kosher meat? Not a non-kosher species, but just that's basar nevela. Obviously, all the dog food is basar nevela. They're not getting meat from the kosher butcher and then cook it with milk to make the dog food. That would really be special. I don't think that's widely accepted. There is some discussion about that. They call it sometimes, the poskim who had a flair for wordcraft, they call it, instead of calling it nevela b'chalav, they call it chalav b'chalav. That's based on a Gemara. Chalav b'chalav. Chalav b'chalav. Yeah. Pashtus as it is aser, because even though you can say ein aser chal iser, but the iser is chal in the milk. So the milk was kosher, now the milk is becoming treif. So pashtus is a nevela, the nevela b'chalav, or the chalav b'chalav. Pashtus is it does generate, it's supposed to be right. That would be an argument to be matro of the dog food.
And the iser chal iser, I was thinking about it, fish lachem. Sort of silly, but...
Bishul Akum. If a Nachri is cooking Bas B'chalav, so it becomes Bishul Akum and Bas B'chalav at the same time. Yeah, it's interesting. Is it both? Is it both? L'may Nef Kamino. Gotta think about that. Maybe.
I know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Isser Daraisa will be Chal Gabi Isser Rabbanu. That's for sure. I believe. I don't think I don't think a pre-existing Yisra Rabbanu gets in the way of this right, because Minah Torah it's mutter. Lechora. 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 Yeah, question.
Why does Rav mention
Anah? Yeah, that's a good point. So Asher's pointing out, if you read the Ramah slowly and carefully, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and Siv Gimel was clear, mutter b'bishul uve hana'a. The Ramah only said it's mutter b'hana'a. He didn't say mutter b'bishul. Yeah, why? I don't think he disagrees with the Mechaber, but I think this goes back to the point that Jeff was making. That if you think about this historically, the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam in the Sfaradi. The Ramah, the Ashkenazi, is quoting the Mordechai, the Ashkenazi. And in fact, that's what the Gra points out. When the Gra on the Ramah says, oh, that's the Mordechai. So you'll remember the Mordechai's Raya was from the Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Hey by Gvinas Akum that these are whether it's Asr Bahana or Mutar Bahana. The Gemara there wasn't commenting on Bishal. It wasn't the context. So I don't think that the Rama would disagree. It's just that that's not, he's quoting the Mordechai. The Mordechai just made the point about Hana, because that's the Gemara that he had. But I don't think he would disagree lehalacha. I think everyone agrees lehalacha. Again, not the Marshal, not the Bach. I think the Machab Rama agree lehalacha. Not only is Hana mutter, but Bishal would be mutter as well. Okay. Any questions, by the way, from anyone who's online? I've been trying to repeat questions. I hope everything was audible. But any questions? No? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mutter l'chadchila, absolutely.
If I get a job cooking chicken cheeseburgers, that's mutter to get that job.
If you get a job cooking chicken cheeseburgers, that would l'chora be mutter. Yeah. If you want to sell chicken cheeseburgers, that would be aser, but that's not basa b'chalap. That's in the second chelik of Yeradeya. The Mishnah said that's aser to be in the schor b'chalap asuris is a problem. For that to be my line, I can't be in the pork business, even though I'm selling in a totally non-Jewish area. That can't be my line. The Mishnah says if I'm a hunter and I hunt kosher animals, every once in a while, treif animal gets stuck in my trap. I can sell that too. That's called nizdamin. Happens occasionally, but and that could be true in a commercial context also. Every once in a while, this material comes my way, but I'm basically in kosher food. But to be in a non-kosher food line, that's a surprise to Rabban on Schar B'chal Sassurus. But I think that's only if you're selling. I think if you're just an employee, you're flipping chicken cheeseburgers, so that L'chora would be mutter. That L'chora would be mutter. Although that brings us, perhaps, to the next topic. Because if you're working as a short order chef, but you only do, you go into McDonald's, but you only do the chicken, you don't do the beef, that definitely sounds like it will pose a problem of Marazayin. Every day you're walking into work wearing your McDonald's gear, and you're flipping there. Again, it could be that no people on the outside don't really see where the employee's entrance. But if people do, so that definitely sounds like, how are they going to know that you're only flipping the chicken burgers and not flipping the beef burgers? So often that would be a Maris Ayin problem. And let's move to the Maris Ayin is the next topic in Siv Pei Zayin. It's a topic of Siv Dalet. It's also the topic of the Ramah in Siv Gimel. But the discussion really starts much before this. So let's back up. If you're here live, you have a paper. So you have some Mar Makamos on paper. If you're online, you have the Mar Makamos on the screen. Or you could get some Gemaras from the shelf, whatever works. So it's always important in learning halacha, have a subtle methodological point. It's always worth knowing what's the earliest source for a din. There are many dinim that only Rishonim discuss, extracting from the Gemara. Gemara didn't say explicitly. Sometimes you have something that's already clearly Medina de Gemara. Every once in a while you have a din that appears in Mishnayos. It's important to be sensitive. What are the dinim that actually appear in Mishnayos? So here's where does something actually appear in a Mishnah? Often, you know, the din may be where you expect it to be, but if you want to find it in a Mishnah, you have to find it somewhere else, right? Comes up in an unexpected context. Where does Maris Ayin show up in Mishnayos? Several places, I believe. One of them is right here in, those who are learning Daf Yomi, you were there a couple of months ago, the end of Masech HaShabbos. Shabbos Kuf Mem Vav Amid Beis. The second half of the Mishnah, near the bottom of the Yomim. Mishanashru Kelev Bederech Bamayim. A fellow was walking from point A to point B on Shabbos afternoon, and he got wet, got soaked. He fell in the puddle, he's soaked. So what do you do? The mahalach ben, v'nechoshesh. Keep walking. You're obviously not allowed to squeeze it out, but keep walking. Remember not to do schita and keep walking. Higi l'chatzar chitzona, once you get into the city, you get to the first place, you're able to stretch yourself out. Shotchem b'chama v'lo k'negadam. So then you lay it out in the sun, but not facing other people. So that already opens the discussion of Maris Ayin. If I'm going to hang it, to dry, it's going to look like I washed my clothing on Shabbos. And the Gemara gets into a conversation. The Gemara points out that the Mishnah seems to say Marasayin is only relevant when other people can see you. If no one else can see, to do it in private, no one else sees, that's much. And the Gemara raises a Machlokas Hatanam about that point. The Chadrei Chadarim. The Chadrei Chadarim. So we're going to pick up Mirtzam next time. We're going to dig deeper. Very, very, very quick. It's almost time for Marv. It's a very quick show of hands. How many people got through all the Marv Makamas from Marasayin already? Where are we holding Marv Makamas was? Yes, no, maybe. Yes, no. Okay. So Mirtzam, next time we're going to start with Marasayin. I already put out the next set of Marv Makamas also. There's plenty to work on. The next time Maram comes, where he takes us into a lot of the details of what's milchik and what's fleishik, me'atarmi, drabana, not at all. So we'll get started next time with the Maram Sayin discussion. And then we'll take it from there. Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of masamatam. So Baruch Hashem, we're moving slower and quicker. Yeshakaya chever.